Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Bill Ordine, discussing his newest book called Fantasy Sports, Real Money, which has been published by our friends over at Huntington Press. Before we talk to Bill, Richard and I received an email today from an organization called Frequent Traveler University. What's that all about, Richard?
Something we've talked on the show about a number of times, which is sometimes called churning, which is how to get lots of credit cards and churn the miles and get lots of free trips, you know, based on doing this. So this website, they're, you know, fans of the show, and they are having a seminar in Vegas end of April. It's the April 29th. 30th, May 1st, and they'll be having these panel discussions and things about various aspects of getting discount travel, including credit card churning, and specifically at least one on what's called manufactured spend, which is an important part of the churning process. You want to usually they require that you spend a certain amount of money in a certain number of months. And there are all kinds of tricks to help you do that. So anyway, he got a hold of us and he said if any of our listeners are interested in attending the seminar, they would give him a $10 discount. Hey, it's only 10 bucks, but hey, it's something.
It's $199 for the
seminar. It's $199 for the weekend, yeah. So there's a discount code, which is GWE, like gambling with an edge, FTU, GWEFTU. And I'll post all the details on it on the Gambling with an Edge Facebook page and at our Twitter, which is RWM21. So that'll go up tonight, Tuesday night. Today is, what, the 23rd? So,
yeah,
it'll go up tonight. And so if you're interested in that, you can there'll be a link to give you more details about it.
Good. Let's talk to our guest. Bill Ordine is a former reporter and editor for the Philadelphia Inquirer and Baltimore Sun. He covered both sports and news. Bill Ordine, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's great being here.
The subtitle of your book is The Unlikely Rise of Daily Fantasy, How to Play, How to Win. Why don't you spend 8 minutes or so going over what your book is about, and then Richard and I will have some questions for you.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, gentlemen, I've usually explained the book as a three-act play. The first act, the first part of Fantasy Sports Real Money, the first 40 pages or so, traces how we've got to where we are with daily fantasy sports. Now, one of the first questions anyone seems to have about daily fantasy is this legal or how is this legal? So the first part of the book, we try to explain how this came to be, that the daily fantasy industry has operated and continues to operate under the broad assumption that fantasy sports in general and, as a result, daily fantasy sports falls outside the parameters of federal gambling laws and also is not subject to prohibitions on gambling in most jurisdictions. Now, I realize there in Nevada that both websites have pulled out, but as we speak, FanDuel operates in 43 states, DraftKings in 42. We also know that the legal status is being examined in a whole lot of states and especially being challenged in New York. But the book traces about 10 years of congressional maneuvering that started in the mid-1990s and arrived at an important juncture in 2006 with the federal law that basically put an end to online poker eventually. But at the same time, that same law opened the door quite unintentionally to this new thing called daily fantasy sports. Now, I'm going to jump to the third part of the book, and I'll get back to the second part in a moment. The third part of the book, the third act, is also relatively brief, about 40 pages, and that talks about where daily fantasy may be headed and, more importantly, where it may take sports in general and all of us who count ourselves as sports fans. I think this is going to be especially pertinent to younger sports fans, because if daily fantasy continues to grow, and I think it will, clearly how we consume or enjoy sports will be impacted immensely. How we allocate the money we spend will probably change, and the money that we spend will probably increase, and I don't mean just on playing fantasy contests. And in a more overarching way, daily fantasy has this potential to change the way we align ourselves in terms of sports loyalties. And the book makes this point. Typically, I've been a sports writer for a long time, and typically we root for laundry, the team colors, the logos, regardless of who wears the uniform. In the book, we predict that daily fantasy will change the nature of fandom from what we've grown up with, from a loyalty that's typically been expressed in an external fashion, and that will become more internalized. It'll be a much more personal loyalty that daily fantasy will encourage. But the heart of the book, and what most people want to know about, is, hey, how can I become rich and famous by showing how smart I am at sports? So the heart of the book is the middle, where we discuss how to play the contest, and most importantly, how to play the contest to give yourself the best chance to win. There's about 200 pages that cover playing daily fantasy in the NFL and Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and golf. So we cover five sports. The most discussion, naturally, is about football, because like everything else in life, the NFL rules. A reasonable estimate is that about 60% of all the daily fantasy action is on the NFL, just like the NFL is the biggest single sport in traditional sports betting. The book is designed for people who are beginners in daily fantasy and for players who may consider themselves at an intermediate level. But to be truthful, guys, there are people, just as you know in video poker or blackjack or regular poker, people who may have been playing daily fantasy for years, a couple of years, but they haven't studied any of the literature on best practices for playing the contest. And I'm sure they'll also find some useful stuff in the book that will improve their bottom line. What I hope one of the strengths of the book is that I've tried to approach this as a journalist who spent more time than I care to admit doing my best to explain complicated subject matter to a general audience. And sometimes how-to gambling books, whether it's poker or blackjack or, in this case, daily fantasy, are pretty dense. So we've tried to strike a balance of explaining the fundamentals but also introducing more sophisticated concepts. I've even included a little bit of higher math in there because that is always something that people involved in advantage gaming like to read about, the higher math. So we have a little bit of that. But we let some experts in daily fantasy have the floor, and we let them explain what they consider to be key ingredients to their success. We've got some interesting war stories from some of the big million-dollar winners, and they explain the thinking and the strategy that went into their lineups that won them the big money. Something else that we do in this book is we try to steer readers toward places on the internet that you should go to week if you're playing in the NFL contest, or that you should go to day to day if you're doing baseball or basketball and hockey to help you assemble your lineups. Because being successful in daily fantasy is all about doing the research. It's all about the data. And there are a lot of folks out there who are constantly crunching numbers, and they make this research available. A lot of this great information is free. Some of it may require a fairly small subscription price, but this information is out there. And in the book, we try to give you the shortcuts in telling you where to find it.
Yeah, I think the book is a very good basic primer. It's not an in-depth analysis. It's a great starting point, I think, for somebody first wanting to get involved. I wanted to ask you about FanDuel and DraftKings seem to try to make a big deal out of the idea that it's not gambling because it's a skill game.
Right.
Does that mean anything? Is there some carve-out in the law that says skill games are allowed? For example, if I wanted to put up a chess site where people gambled on chess, would that be legal because chess is a game of skill?
Well, Rich, you ask a very good and also very complex question. Because the fact that the Daily Fantasy obviously involves skill, it is impactful in some jurisdictions. The fact that Daily Fantasy is fantasy sports at all, of course, is very important as the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act, which is a federal law, applies, because that law, UGEA, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with that, and certainly all your poker players in the audience are familiar with that, that law basically created enhanced enforcement options for the federal government that eventually wound up driving online poker, right over the edge of the cliff. And in that law went out of its way to say that in creating definitions that certain things were exempt from these enhanced enforcement mechanisms. Among those things were stock trading, buying insurance policies, and fantasy sports. Now,
and horse racing.
And horse racing, too, because horse racing actually came under, was already covered by federal laws that applied specifically to horse racing. So basically, UGEA said, and anything that, comes under the horse racing laws is not affected either. So, but you're right. Yeah, horse racing also, got its get-out-of-jail-free card.
Where did they come up with this skill game idea? I mean,
the skill game portion of this actually is more applicable to some state laws.
Okay.
Because if you are DraftKings and FanDuel, you've got two hoops to jump through. You got the federal hoops to jump through in terms of being legal, and that seems to be fine because of what UGEA says. However, now you've also have to clear the hurdle of state law. And in some states, skill in some way, shape, or form, and sometimes, the state law will say it's got to be entirely skill, or sometimes a preponderance of skill, or some, element of skill, substantial element of skill. And in each jurisdiction, the laws are different. So, but it is important that skill be part of it. Now, you asked about the chess example, and that's a good one, because two chess players playing against each other, betting on themselves, are probably not breaking laws in very many jurisdictions. However, if you or I, Rich, were to bet on those chess players, even though they are exhibiting skill, in some jurisdictions we would be breaking the law, even though in that same jurisdiction, for the chess player to bet on himself, he is not.
Huh.
Is that complicated enough?
Yeah, I get it, though. Yeah.
All right, let's change subjects to maybe a more interesting one.
Than chess? Okay.
This week, the nation's top pornography site, Vivid, is launching a daily fantasy sports site.
Yep.
They apparently see a high correlation between men who like fantasy sports and men who like to fantasize about naked women.
Wait, do you pick a roster of porn stars, or how does that work?
Well, they believe that by cross-marketing porn and DFS, they can significantly reduce some of the player acquisition costs.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments on this?
Yeah, I think the macro issue here is quite valid. Aside from all the snickering that goes on with this,
we would never snicker about this.
Has been sniffing around with Daily Fantasy for better than a year. Although this announcement was fairly recent, Vivid has been taking a look at Daily Fantasy for quite some time. And Daily Fantasy, by and large, has to figure out a way to trim its costs on player acquisition. We know that one number that was tossed out there during the beginning of the NFL season, look, and we're all familiar with the TV commercials, is that during the early part of the NFL season together, these guys spent $200 million on TV ads. Obviously, that's an unsustainable spend. So attaching yourself to websites where people are already going there, they're already patronizing it, and if you can find, websites that are well trafficked and also are going to attract a demographic that you think fits the profile of your demographic, it's something that you need to explore. You got to be doing it. So the macro issue here of fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports operators figuring out ways to lower their cost of player acquisition, and certainly doing it by aligning themselves with websites that are being trafficked or receiving traffic for other purposes, and we can certainly imagine what that would be with the Vivid websites. This is something that Daily Fantasy needs to be thinking about, and of course Vivid is partnering up with some websites that are outside the universe of DraftKings and FanDuel, but in a larger sense, yeah, they all have to do that. Hey, you know what? If you could put NFL.com, if NFL.com decided to jump into this with the kind of traffic that NFL.com already gets, they could eliminate a lot of the overhead that DraftKings and FanDuel have to incur.
You know, in the beginning of internet casinos in the late 90s, a lot of the porn site people got into online gambling, and
yep.
And there were a lot of online casinos that sort of featured cards with pictures of naked girls on them, and I don't know, it didn't seem to do very well. I think people didn't like mixing their vices in that manner or something, but
it very well could be. But of course what the fantasy guys have to concern themselves with is reminding people that they exist. Any product has to do that. And, they got millions and millions of people to sign up in August and September and October of 2015 because of the TV ads. And a lot of those people will drift away. They're not interested in NBA or Major League Baseball. A lot of those people will drift away. And DraftKings and FanDuel have to remind those guys to come on back. I mean, that's why you and I all get lots of junk mail. For fast food restaurants. I mean, none of us are going to forget that McDonald's exists, right? But yet, McDonald's wants to remind us by, sending us, by being included in flyers that arrive in our mailbox. So DraftKings and FanDuel have to continue to reintroduce themselves to people, and if they can do it with this kind of website, then, they're eliminating some of those very expensive overhead costs.
You said something interesting in at the beginning. I wanted to ask you about. You said that you felt that Daily Fantasy will continue to expand. That kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
They've been declining, I guess, because of the, especially New York.
Sure.
There are quite a number of people who are writing about the idea that it's broken, that
yep.
the good players are winning too much too fast, and the bad players are just going to die very quickly and abandon the game. But you think they'll get over that somehow, that they'll get around that problem and it'll continue to expand?
Yeah, my answer is double-barreled. First of all, those kinds of critics and, I think a guy who has given some real thoughtful insight on this is Ed Miller. And, he's made the point about, the sharks, overfishing the pond here. And the daily fantasy operators do have to step in, and they've got to draw themselves up short here. They have got to control their greed and being so over-reliant on essentially the rake from their volume players. And there's a number of ways to do this. I'm sure Ed would have some suggestions. My suggestions are in the book. I think the daily fantasy operators have to do a much better job of segregating the sharks from casual players. They've got to do a better job of reducing multiple entries so that one person can't enter a contest 200 times. So there are steps that Daily Fantasy has to do on its own to avoid the problem that you just outlined of Daily Fantasy's own 1% making the contest unpalatable to the casual players, because the casual players are where the growth is. But secondly, in my second part to this issue is this. This game, this contest, this Daily Fantasy thing is extremely attractive to millennials. It is something that is native to millennials in a way that folks of other generations just don't get. I've even talked to state legislators who identify as millennials, and as legislators, they are resentful that older legislators are trying to curtail daily fantasy sports. and daily fantasy speaks to everything that millennials enjoy when millennials want to put their money at risk. It's a contest predicated on skill, and millennials have only played games of skill from the time they were born, whether it's a game of dexterity or a game of intellectual skill. They're the only kind of games they want to play. Secondly, this is all about data. And millennials love data because they've always had the internet at their fingertips. When you and I and when Bob had to go out and research for his books, we went to libraries. We had to go through books and magazines. Not anymore. It's on your smartphone. So data and living in a world of data is native to millennials. And finally, daily fantasy is only played out in the virtual world. It's played out on mobile devices and on laptops. All of this is right in the wheelhouse of those people who came of age in the 21st century. And there is just no stopping that demographic urge. Folks of an older generation may not be able to identify with that, but I think Daily Fantasy will succeed because of the demographic that will insist that it succeed.
Interesting point. Let's change subjects a little bit. Briefly, we're going to talk about 50-50 contests where approximately half the people entered double their money and the other half get nothing. The house has a rake in there somewhere. But basically, we'll say half the people get their money back in a 90% premium. So, assume I'm an intelligent player in the NFL football entering 50-50 contest. I have 10 entries that I'm going to enter in both DraftKings and FanDuel.
Right.
Would I likely have the same lineups on my 10 entries for those two sites? Why or why not?
The answer is no, you would not. The reason why you would not is because there are differences in among all the websites. Now we're talking about just the two big ones. So there are differences between FanDuel and DraftKings that rewards different types of statistics, different types of accomplishment to a greater or lesser degree. Let's talk about one of the easier ones to wrap our minds around, because for anyone who has been doing even traditional fantasy sports, they would get this. Catching a pass on DraftKings, if a player catches a pass, he gets 1 point. On FanDuel, if a player catches a pass, he gets 0.5 point. So players who catch a lot of passes, even if they don't gain a lot of yards or score a lot of touchdowns, are going to be more valuable on DraftKings because you're getting 1 point per reception, as opposed to FanDuel where you're getting 0.5 point per reception. So to get down to specifics, let's take a player like the former Chicago Bear running back Matt Forte, who's going to be playing someplace else next year. Maybe in Green Bay, we'll see. A guy like Matt Forte, who would catch, say, 8 passes and only gain 40 yards, would get a point for each one of those pass receptions to go along with the, whatever points he gets for the 40 yards if we were on DraftKings. However, he would only get half that many points in terms of the receptions themselves on FanDuel. So a running back who is a guy who is going to catch a lot of safety valve passes is going to be much more valuable on DraftKings than on FanDuel. Also, slot receivers. You know, you're a big NFL guy, so you know that slot receivers catch more passes than the wideouts because they're playing between the hash marks. And now they may not gain as many yards. They may not, you know, make as many, you know, giant plays because they're not running, you know, the fly route down the sideline for the big pass play. But those slot receivers are going to be much more valuable on the point per reception website than on the website where he's only getting a half point
Good.
Per reception. So that is an example of why you may want to tinker with your lineup, depending on which website you're going to play on, because you need to study the rules of how they reward performance.
Very good. Good explanation. Thank you. Change subjects again.
Mm-hmm.
October last year,
yeah,
one of the executives at DraftKings, who had access to the numbers there,
yeah,
was a big player on FanDuel, and he won something like $350,000 on FanDuel. Players scream foul and insider trading.
Mm-hmm.
With what you know about how the business works, would working at one of the sites give someone an unfair advantage in betting on the other site?
The answer to that is yes, potentially, and so much so that the daily fantasy operators cannot let their employees play daily fantasy. You just cannot allow it. Now, that has stopped. As you may know,
mm-hmm.
as a result of that event, employees of DraftKings can't play fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports, on their website or any other website in the same way with the other website operator. So they have cut that out. And what happened in that specific case, the person's name is Ethan Haskell. Mr. Haskell actually worked in sort of an editorial. He was like a reporter, writer. And what he did was he inadvertently released information about the percentage ownership on his own of players on his own website. He did that between the 1 p.m. and the 4 p.m. games. I'm using Eastern times, I realize. But the early afternoon games and the late afternoon games on an NFL Sunday. And he was supposed to hold on to that information until Tuesday. That's when it was embargoed until then. However, Mr. Haskell, when he entered the contest on FanDuel and did not have that information available to him when he submitted his lineup, he won his $350,000 as far as anyone can tell, fair and square. And there have been 3 investigations into Mr. Haskell, and certainly any attorney general could have swooped in and found out otherwise, and if that had happened, we would have heard about it. What this turned out to be was a very awkward coincidence. But it was, you know, it certainly was enough to raise eyebrows and to make people upset. And just because of that, even though Haskell may have won the money fair and square, the optics of it stink to high heaven, and they just can't allow this to happen. The daily fantasy operators cannot have their employees playing the games. You know, if you want to work at DraftKings or FanDuel, well, you know, you just can't be allowed to play there. And because of this very thing, that they may have access to sensitive information. Now, I don't know what kind of firewalls you have up and passwords you need, all that sort of thing. You just can't allow these people to play because, you know, they just may be able to access that information.
And as you say, it just looks bad.
And it looks bad.
Yeah.
It looks terrible. And in some cases, the daily fantasy operators have been their own worst enemies. This is a good example.
All right. Let's change subjects again. If I were good at daily fantasy sports football, would I find becoming good at DFS baseball easy, or am I going to have to go back to square one again?
You don't have to go back to square one, but certainly you're going to have to get more. You're going to have to get adept at whatever sport you want to play. Now, even among the pros, the quote-unquote pros, the sharks, they will specialize in various sports, but there are some skill sets that are transferable from one sport to another. Certainly, there are concepts that are at, you know, deciding what contest to play, for instance, whether you want to play in a guaranteed prize pool contest, which is kind of like a World Series of Poker type poker tournament, or if you want to play in the cash games that you talked about earlier, where half the field, you know, wins money. Just trying to discriminate among the various daily fantasy contests is a skill that carries over from one sport to another. Being adept at taking a close look at the rules and deciding what characteristics among players are going to help you more in assembling a lineup is a skill that's transferable. For instance, I mentioned the running back who catches a lot of passes being the type of guy that you would like to have in your DraftKings lineup, and he'd be less valuable in a FanDuel lineup. Well, as you look at if we're going to baseball, let's go over to baseball now, and you're making your transfer over to baseball, you've already figured out, because you're a football guy, that there are certain players in football, certain types of players in football, who are going to be more valuable on one website than another. Well, the same way in baseball, you're going to find out that strikeout pitchers are more valuable on one website than on another website. So you'll go looking for strikeout pitchers more on one. You're going to want to have them more likely in a lineup on a certain website than in another. So there are some transferable skill sets. However, you do need to become adept at the sport that you want to move into.
Which sport do you think is the easiest to beat?
I think the easiest to beat, I've got two answers. The NFL is, I think, the sport that everyone should start with on the 50-50 basis. And that is because I think that is the sport where the pros have the least amount of advantage. The sport where the pros have the most advantage, in my opinion, is NBA. Well, you better know the NBA if you're going to get involved in that. But the NFL is where I think beginners have the best chance, and the sport that I think is number two is golf, the PGA. I think it's much easier to wrap your arms around golf. I think that the data is more manageable. And you don't necessarily have to worry about last-minute changes in golf as you do in, say, Major League Baseball or the NBA or the NHL. If you're going to play any of those three daily games, you've got to have your ear to the ground right up to the moment that the games start, because if you lose a player at the last minute because you weren't paying attention, you know, you're one of your forwards in basketball winds up getting benched, you know, a half hour before the game because the coach figures, well, he needs a rest. You know, you're gonna you have no chance then. You can't have a guy sit out an entire game and have any chance. And so in the NBA and the NHL and the MLB, you got to be paying attention right up to the very last minute. But in the NFL and in the PGA, because they're weekly events, it's less crucial that, or it's less likely that that sort of thing's going to happen because we know more about NFL injuries and that sort of thing. So those are the two, NFL and PGA, for a beginner.
All right, stacking.
Yeah.
We're not talking about those porn sites again. That's something different. But it's a term indicating that several members of the same actual team will be on your DFS team.
Right.
Now, when Ed Miller was on the show,
yep,
he said he regularly stacked his baseball lineups.
That's right.
In which sports is stacking advisable and which sports is stacking unadvisable?
Okay. I'm going to qualify this by saying, and sometimes it depends what type of daily fantasy contest you're playing.
Uh-huh.
A guaranteed prize pool contest where only the top 20% get paid, but the very top people get a big jackpot, will encourage certain types of stacking. And that's what Ed was talking about specifically, by the way. He was talking about stacking baseball players in guaranteed prize pool contests. And you might take a different strategy. Not might. You would take a different strategy in a cash game. But now,
would
let's
you explain
your question directly.
What stacking is for the listeners that don't know?
Stacking is included. For instance, we're going to put together nine players in baseball. You know, we've got to fill out all nine positions. First, second, third, short, you know, right, left, center field, and a catcher and a pitcher. Including five guys, say, from the four guys from the Los Angeles Dodgers on your daily fantasy roster. That would be stacking. And that would be advisable or desirable if you think that the Dodgers that night have an opportunity to score 10 runs because they're playing a poor pitcher, they're going up against a poor pitcher, and you think the heart of the Dodger lineup has an opportunity to go 2-for-4, 3-for-4, 4-for-4, and they're going to be driving each other in and getting lots of RBIs, and their statistics will feed off of each other. That's stacking. In football, stacking would be to pair up, say, a quarterback and a wide receiver when you think they're going to have a big day. You think that, oh, this is the day when Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown are going to hook up for 200 passing yards between the two of them. And so you would, putting those two guys in your daily fantasy lineup would be stacking. And to answer Bob's question directly, the sport that requires the stacking almost always is the National Hockey League. The reason for that is because the statistics feed off each other. You know, there is almost two assists for every goal. So you would like to have, you know, the front line of whatever team you think is going to score a lot of goals that particular game. So stacking in your NHL lineups is extremely important. In Major League Baseball, you want to stack, as Ed said, particularly in the guaranteed prize pool contest. It is helpful in cash games or in 50-50s, but not as necessary or not as required as it is in the guaranteed prize pools. The third sport would be NFL, and only in the guaranteed prize pools where you want to, need to get a lot of bang for your buck, and it would be great if every time your quarterback threw a touchdown pass, one of your receivers caught it. But in cash games in the NFL, you want to make sure you kind of spread it around so that if one guy fails, if your quarterback fails, you also don't have a wide receiver hooked up with him who also fails. And finally, the sport in which you should avoid stacking entirely is the NBA, because there is very little correlation in the statistical performance of one teammate to another. I mean, you may be thinking of assists. Well, you know, if I think that LeBron James is going to score a lot of points tonight, well, someone's got to be feeding him the ball, so maybe I should take that other person. No. that is too difficult to parse. There is almost no correlating statistics in the NBA. In fact, mostly what one guy does takes away from another teammate. So you want to avoid stacking in the NBA. So that's the order, NHL, MLB, NFL, NBA, in that order.
And golf is largely not defined because...
Right, in golf, of course, there is no stacking because, you would take,
Everyone's
three guys from Ireland, I don't know. But there is no stacking in PGA. No.
All right, we're talking to Bill Ordine about his new book on daily fantasy sports called Fantasy Sports Real Money. We're going to be right back, and we're going to ask him the penetrating question of...
Back to Vivid?
Well, yeah, it's like when you... How do you explain to your wife the reason that you play on that site is because the competition is softer and the naked girls have nothing at all to do with your decision? So we'll see his answer to that in a few minutes.
All right.
South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else has. Big promotion in South Point. February is for locals who get mailers. You pick up your regular mailer Monday through Friday of each week, and you get a duplicate amount Friday or Saturday of the same week. And if you've picked out all 8 amounts, next Monday, February 29th, is a big payday. Free video poker class this week at the South Point is 9-6 Jacks or Better Multi-Strike. Multi-Strike is a four-line game where you pay for all four lines up front. If you at least break even on the bottom line, you get to play on the next line for free, where all the scores are doubled. Break even or better here, and you get to play on the third line, where all scores are multiplied by four, and do it again, and you play on the top line, where all scores are multiplied by eight. There's a different strategy for each line, because in addition to your score for the current hand, it's how much do you have that you're getting for free in the future. If you're at least 21, you're welcome. Starts at noon in the Grandview Lounge, and it's free. At the Palms, from now until the end of April, they'll have drawings every Friday and Saturday night at 7:15. Must be there to win. Five winners share the top prize of, the total prize of $5,000 with a top prize of $2,500. Plus, you get a chance to win $1 million in the $1 million match game, where you usually win something, either $100 or $200. And if your 1 in 16,000 chance comes in, you could go home with $1 million. PFP, play for prizes. Until February 26th, you earn Lowe's gift cards. Cards are redeemed at a rate of 0.2%, up to $190 per day. Next week, Monday, May 29th through Friday, March 4th, there's no play for prizes. Instead, every day you get a multiplier at a kiosk, which must be turned into Club Palms to either a boothling or in a box in a corner. You may earn up to 80,000 bonus points per day. Assuming you get a 2x multiplier, which is normal for video poker players, and play 40,000 points, this promotion gives you $100 in free play rather than $80 worth of gift card. Much better in my opinion. And if you score a 3x multiplier or higher, so much the better. Throughout February, the Palms is having a match your status promotion. If you have a premium card at another casino, the Palms will match it. If you get upgraded to MVP status, you also get $20 of free play. If you get upgraded to Hall of Fame status, you get $40 in free play. To be eligible for this promotion, you must be a new Palms member, or if you already have a Palms card, have not played in the last 12 months. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. Sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month, $79.95 a year. This allows you to get corrections on most of the games. The game of the week is 100 Play Quick Quads. This game is a lot of fun. Regular quick quads is a 6-coin per line game. So here you're playing 600 coins. A quick quad consists of 3 cards of one rank, 2 cards of add up to that rank, such as 4-4-4-3 ace, or maybe 8-8-8-4-4. I've heard tell there's one major strip casino that's planning on charging for parking in the near future that has a very good pay schedule on a 50-play quick quads games. And they use this as an AP catcher. Play this game too much and you just may be restricted. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. All right, so Bill Ordine, you've had the question for what do you tell the wife when of why you're playing on this Vivid site?
Well, what you tell her is that because the competition is going to be so much softer, because the people who are visiting the Vivid site are not, no pun intended, hardcore daily fantasy players.
No pun intended. You've been working on that for 4 days, I bet.
Exactly. that because they're not hardcore daily fantasy players, they will be much easier to beat. And with your winnings, you've got a special dinner planned for her.
There you go.
There you go. I'm not into DFS, and whatever were I, there was nothing I could say that would.
I'm not into DFS. I just go to their sites for the porn.
Well, good. All right. Players enter multiple times sometimes.
Yeah.
100 times, 200 times, maybe 2,000 times. So presumably to enter 2,000 times, you have to automate this process.
Yeah.
Are there automation tools available to everybody, or are they all homegrown and only available to the programmers who create them?
Well, that's an excellent question, because like everything else in daily fantasy, that has become a moving target. Up until fairly recently, most of those automation tools that are known more generically as scripts, S-C-R-I-P-T-S, scripts, have been by and large proprietary to the people who develop them, although then they can become, a program that you can download on the Internet like many other programs. However, what has happened very recently, at least one of the websites, I believe DraftKings, has barred the use of all scripts after going out of their way to allow them, have barred the use of scripts other than the ones that DraftKings will supply to all its customers. So I think that's where we were going to see this, because it is going to be necessary for volume players to be able to do this sort of thing. And that is, let's say, you find out at the last minute that Ben Roethlisberger is not going to play today, and he's on, out of 200 lineups, he's in 50 of them for you, and you got to get him out of 50 lineups, and you want to replace him with Andrew Luck. So rather than manually go through that, you may need to be able to do this in just a couple of minutes before the kickoff. And DraftKings is going to, or at least I believe it's DraftKings. I should qualify by saying I believe it's DraftKings. Is going to be supplying that kind of automated or one-stroke sort of substitution to all its customers. So they want to make whatever is available to everyone. And this has been, a criticism that they have allowed the sharks up until fairly recently, the volume players, the skilled players, to employ methodology that, most of the rest of us would, it would be alien to us. And it makes you feel that you're at an even greater advantage, even beyond the point that these guys are spending 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week researching the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball. I mean, if that's what they're doing, then, good for them. But, to also have to deal with the uneven playing field that, you know, they've got, you know, computer tools available to them that the average Joe just won't. It's just too much. It's too much. It makes it feel like a stacked deck.
How much of a player are you, Bill? Do you play a lot, and are you a winning player?
That's an excellent question. I will answer it this way, and I hope not to offend anyone else who does journalism in the gaming world. I am not a gamer who dabbles in journalism. I'm a journalist who tries to make observations and write intelligently about gaming. So I do not pursue the things that I write about for a living. I think it would cloud my perspective as a journalist. But because I've got to be able to speak, you know, intelligently, I've got to experience daily fantasy myself, and I do play. And I play mostly NFL and mostly golf, and thirdly, Major League Baseball. And I only dabble in the others, meaning NBA and National Hockey League. And I would say of all of them, I am a better than average NFL player, and I have been, frankly, I've been a very good PGA player.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Bill Ordine. We've been talking to Bill about his book, Fantasy Sports, Real Money. Bill, thank you very much. This was enlightening.
It was. Very good.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time, gentlemen.
Okay.
Next week, who do we have, Richard?
Next week, our guest is Bob Nersessian, who has a new book coming out. Bob is one of our most frequent guests, one of our favorites, and we'll be talking about his new book, which should be out in about a month, would be my guess.
It's called Law for Gamblers. I finished it. Have you finished it, Richard?
I did finish it, yes. So
we got lots of questions on it. A lot of the things in that book would be things that we've discussed on this show with him before. He's been on 10 times, something like that.
Right, right. But we still welcome your questions. So, you know, send us your questions for Bob. You can send them at facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge, or you can tweet them at me at RWM21, or to the email, gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com.
All right. And the week after that is Olaf Vankura, who has an updated, he's one of the inventors of KO Blackjack. He has a new updated.
Right, an updated version of the book, KO Blackjack, with a couple of added chapters. So, right, he will be on. By the way, I should mention that if you want the show delivered to you automatically every week, you can sign up to do that at iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or my site, richardmunchka.com. You can get an archive of all of the old shows, every episode ever, at bobdancer.com.
Very good. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Bill Ordine. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.
Views and opinions expressed on this program were those of the hosts and guests and did not necessarily reflect those of Vegas All Net Radio, its affiliates, or its parent company.